to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. You are listening to the most controversial and unjustly smeared radio program on the mainstream radio airwave, the Political Cesspool. Saturday, September 1st, happy Labor Day weekend, everybody, to all my listeners across the country and around the world, whether you're tuned in on the internet or one of the affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, welcome to the second hour, what promises to be, I think, just an utterly fascinating interview because it's a departure from really any interview, topic, or guest we've ever had on the show, and that's spanning 8 years. A couple of weeks ago, I got an email from a gentleman, and since that time, we've exchanged numerous emails and correspondence, and I'm excited to bring him on and let him make his presentation this evening. Making his debut appearance, Mark Krieger is a professional investor and the founder and managing director of Krieger Capital Limited. He's an ex-Alaskan who abandoned the United States and has lived in New Zealand since 2010, where he's now married to his beautiful Kiwi wife. Before founding Krieger Capital, Mark owned Alaskan Leopard Tours, a seasonal tour company in Alaska. He has worked as a financial advisor for a Fortune 500 company and has traveled extensively throughout the world, and his political, economic, and social commentaries have a sizable audience. He also is an investor with active business ventures in several countries. What he's coming on to talk to you about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to cover some of that other stuff too, a new book, an audio book, How to Escape America. It explains to you why you should consider leaving the United States before the empire collapses. It explains how you can immigrate to places such as New Zealand and Australia, where wages are higher, unemployment is lower, economic conditions are better, and where he says people enjoy more freedom than those of us here in the United States. You can get a $2,000 a year mining job in Australia without a degree. His audiobook shows you how to obtain work permits for both countries, how to navigate immigration laws, find a job, relocate, and much more. He says that leaving America for New Zealand was one of the best decisions he ever made. So if you're stuck without a job or a job that pays peanuts, if you're tired of living in a country with a tyrannical government, or you just want a change of scenery, you're going to want to listen to this interview. Mark Krieger, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, James. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. And as I mentioned, folks, he is calling in from New Zealand. So whereas it's Saturday night in the United States, it's Sunday afternoon for Mark, and I'm doing well, my friend, and great to have you. A lot of questions already have come in for you, and we're going to spend the bulk of this hour addressing them. But let me first ask you, now that we've laid out your bio, laid out the topic for the book that's going to dominate most of the discussion, why did you choose to leave the United States?
Well, there are several reasons, James, the first of which makes sense in light of what you and Sam have discussed in the past hour. Basically, I'm viewing America's decline as irreversible. In many respects, the decline of America mirrors what happened when the British Empire declined or the Roman Empire declined. And unfortunately, America was becoming too much like the Soviet Union. And as a fairly young person, I had sort of the means to pack up and leave and start a life elsewhere. I've grown sort of increasingly irritated at the proliferation of the police state and the erosion of civil liberties. And I just feel that longer term, the countries down here in Australasia, New Zealand, and Australia have a much better future. If you were to compare the United States to New Zealand and Australia, you know, both countries have trade surpluses. We in New Zealand, we export a lot of agricultural products to the burgeoning economies of Asia. Australia exports a lot of mining products. And in my estimation, I just said, look, in my lifetime, I see where things are going in America. I see the declining economy, and I see the fact that the only thing that's keeping America afloat economically is this debt-based system that's unsustainable. And I said, look, I had it, and so I packed up and left.
Well, that's why you left. That also would be why you would advise other Americans to at least consider the option of leaving the United States. Now, a knee-jerk reaction, and we've seen this in response to the promo we put for your interview on the blog. A lot of people fascinated about it. Obviously, not everyone's going to be in a position to where they can do this, nor perhaps would everyone want to. But I want to get people to think about it just so they know that there are options out there. A lot of people say, you know what, this is our country. I'd rather go down with the ship than flee. What would you say to them? Is that practical or is that just stubborn defiance?
Look, I relate to those people because I was in that similar situation several years ago. I was engaged in political activism. I was involved to some degree with the Ron Paul movement. And unfortunately, the only way that things are going to reverse themselves in America is through revolutionary change. But that's unlikely to happen. If you compare, say, the Tea Party of 1776, the actual Tea Party then and today's Tea Party in the 1770s, the British government essentially passed a number of taxes on the American colonies without their consent. And if you know the story of the Tea Party wasn't just a protest against taxes. It was also a protest against the too big to fail policies of that time. Today, Goldman Sachs and the big banks are too big to fail and the government props them up. In the 1770s, it was the Dutch East India Company. And as you might know from your study of history, the British said to the colonies in response to the protests in Boston, they said, okay, we'll remove the tax on tea, not on colonial merchants, but only if you buy tea from the East India Company, which was a company that was nearing bankruptcy at the time. So I can understand a lot of people saying, look, it's not better overseas. You know, things are bad everywhere, and to some degree that's true, particularly in Europe. However, you know, the world doesn't begin or end in the United States, and just like America's forebears immigrated to the United States, you know, one, two, three centuries ago
in
search of a better opportunity, Americans should really look at this. I look at the example of Ed Steele. Ed's a guy who is very honorable, dedicated his time, energy, and money fighting on behalf of politically incorrect defendants. He had a wide following, and one day they basically locked up Ed Steele, and he's been stuck in a prison for the past 2.5 years. And I've had discussions with Ed about this beforehand, but in the United States, if you step out of line too much, you're going to end up in the same situation as Ed. And if you have money in the United States and you run afoul of some kind of law, say like Gibson Guitar in Tennessee, you know, you're at risk of ending up behind bars permanently. So what you have to do is A, either leave, or B, place yourself in a situation where you sort of plant multiple flags, where you have assets offshore, where you have an escape plan, because otherwise it's like having a house without insurance. If you don't take these sorts of measures, you're going to imperil yourself and your family.
Well, that's an excellent answer. And, you know, for every person that said, you know, I don't think we should go, I've had just as many people say, you know what, this is very interesting. I'd like to hear more. And I like how you compared and contrasted with the founding fathers and those even before them. They were faced with a similar situation and they chose to go and leave Europe and find a better place for them and their families. And so if they did it and they were not negatively stigmatized, certainly it's not to say that you are less of a person for doing the same. A lot of questions for Mark Krieger. A lot of questions have been emailed in, and we're going to get to as many of them as we can when the Political Cesspool continues right after this. Stay tuned.
Coming your way right after these messages.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Really been looking forward to this interview. It's great to have Mark Krieger on, the managing director of Krieger Capital Limited, also the author of How to Escape America. Get more information about Mark's work at KriegerCapital.biz. That's K-R-I-G-E-R Capital.biz, B-I-Z, KriegerCapital.biz. There you can get more information about this book, but also gain access to Mark's investing tips and financial consultations, KriegerCapital.biz. You know, when talking about leaving America for potentially greener pastures, it just, I guess, depends on who you are and where you're at. It would be a stretch for me to do so with a wife and a young child. My parents are here. Her parents are here. Family, friends, jobs. But other people are not in that situation. Other people are not so tethered or have deep roots that run so deep. Perhaps for others, this is exactly what you've been looking for. And with our guest tonight, you'll have the information needed to take it from theory to practice. Mark, one of the things I've been getting is that, you know, yes, America's going downhill fast, but at least we still have, you know, hanging by a thread, the freedom of speech. We still have Second Amendment rights to an extent. Certainly in other countries such as Europe, the countries of Europe, you do go to jail much more easily for speaking out against the regime. They do have more restrictive gun control laws. Why have you focused on Australia and New Zealand specifically for people to immigrate to? And what is freedom like there in comparison to America?
Certainly, James. Just one quick thing. My surname is just K-R-I-E-G-E-R. There's just a letter missing there.
Oh, gotcha.
Just to answer that question, there are a couple of reasons with Australia and New Zealand where I think it's beneficial for Americans. One is both countries are English-speaking, and just as a practical matter, moving to non-English-speaking countries may present an impediment for a lot of people. Secondly, in terms of the economies, Europe and the United States are broken. By Europe, I mean the Western European welfare states. However, if you look at New Zealand and Australia, next year, the Australian budget is supposed to be in surplus. The New Zealand budget will be in surplus in 2014. The debt-to-GDP ratios are very negligible. I mean, in Australia, it's only 20% the debt-to-GDP ratio, 30% in New Zealand, whereas in the U.S., it's more than 100%, which is where Greece was at, say, 2 or 3 years ago. You know, to answer your question, as far as the sort of people who this is for, young people, if you're 18 to 30, if you have an American passport, you can get a one-year work permit for both Australia and New Zealand, pretty much no questions asked, and that's one of the things that I discuss in my book. Similarly, if you're well established in life and you want to protect some assets, this is a good part of the world. Unlike the United States, no banks went under during the global financial crisis. The banks in these countries are well capitalized and you can actually get good interest rates. So, if you have some money in the United States and you place it in a bank account, say in New Zealand or Australia, you can get 5.5-6% interest, with very little risk aside from the currency. It protects you from a declining dollar if you have assets in this part of the world. And similarly, in terms of the economy, I mean, currently in Australia, if you have the right skill sets, you can go and work in a mine and earn, you know, $100,000, $200,000 without a degree. I've linked the Bloomberg article just to show that this isn't puffery, that, you know, sort of reputable mainstream news outlets will report the same thing. The quality of life is much better, shorter work hours, et cetera. So in many respects, these countries have a lot of promise. I know a lot of people have expressed concern about freedom, and they'll say, well, America has the Second Amendment and freedom of speech now. For New Zealand specifically, New Zealand doesn't have a written constitution. It's one of the three countries in the world that doesn't have that. As far as freedoms, there is no Second Amendment in New Zealand. There is one in the United States, but the difference is, in New Zealand, the police don't carry guns, and despite that, the firearms laws are very liberal. You apply and get a permit, and you can basically have most types of firearms without too much difficulty, whereas in the United States, you have the right to bear an AR-15. However, when the police come after you and they come with attack helicopters and armored personnel carrier, then there's very little that you're able to do. So whilst you have the right to bear arms, and you have the right to free speech, although that's very debatable in many circles, in practice, you don't have that. Similarly, if you look at, say, the charade of airport security, in New Zealand, we don't have these sort of nude body scanners like they do in the United States. There's no Fourth Amendment prohibition against unreasonable searches and seizures. There's one in the United States, but it doesn't matter because the government disregards the law. I mean, the law in the United States is irrelevant. It's essentially ruled by brute force, the way it was in the Soviet Union. It's an oligarchy where the financial interests, the military-industrial complex rule, and they basically use the government to enrich the insiders, whereas your ordinary sort of middle-class European-American is struggling to get by and unable to earn a good living. And I think for a lot of people, looking abroad in search of better opportunities is something that they should consider exploring.
Well, speaking of those better opportunities, let me say this first. My family means more to me than my country. My extended family, and I would count my listeners as part of that, means more to me than my country. What has made America so great in the past is that it is the country in which our family resides and that our family dominated. It's debatable as to how much longer this will be a country under control of our people. And so with that being said, I want to present options here in the best interest of our people. And this might be something, folks, that you've been looking for. You know, in the book, Mark mentions that you can go over there without a college degree and have a very good chance at landing a job in trucking or mining that's going to pay you in the six figures. And keep in mind, the Australian currency is worth more than the U.S. dollar right now. So not only are you making $100,000, $200,000 a year, it's worth more than $100,000 to $200,000 in America, the likes of which you would never earn doing a job like that. So that is something for you to keep in mind. But then you would say, okay, well, Mark's making a great case, and believe me, he is, for me to consider this, but at the end of the day, it's going to be too expensive to immigrate to another country and too complicated. Mark, how expensive and complicated is it?
It really depends on your individual circumstances. If you're, say, under 30 and a single guy and you have the right skill set, it's basically airfare and the cost of moving your possessions and a few immigration fees, so you're only talking about, you know, say, $4,000 or $5,000 at a start. If you're, say, an entrepreneur and you're on a coming in on an investor visa and so on, you might be spending $25,000 to $30,000 in addition to having to make a sizable investment. So it's very much on a case-by-case basis. The general rule of thumb is if you have something useful that you can do and you're doing it in the United States, you can do it elsewhere. If you're in a situation where, say, you have a degree, but you can't get a job. In this part of the world, you can basically walk into a job very easily. Now, it won't necessarily lead to residency, and that's one of the things that I sort of discuss individually with people. But I know, for example, say here in New Zealand, people from Ireland have been coming to escape the crisis in Europe, and people that have landed within a few days can get a job paying $3,000 at a call center. Admittedly, it's not glorious work, but you can pick that up, you know, like that. Whereas from what I read in the United States and the people that I talk to, you know, the economic conditions are terrible, and, you know, very few people are making a good living. I mean, you look at the median income in the United States for a household, and you're talking about, you know, 49,000 US. You look at the median net wealth of Americans, according to UBS, and it's only $53,000. That means that half of the households in the United States have less than that. So a lot of people are in a bad situation. The other thing that worries me is that there's a mass underclass in the United States, and when the government can no longer continue to placate those people through welfare payments, these guys are going to riot and they're going to pillage and so on, and there's actually going to be you know, mass chaos. And that's one of those things that Edgar Steele discusses brilliantly in his book Defensive Racism, which you can look for online.
Mark, hold up right there. Hate to interrupt you, I truly do, but we got to take a commercial break. We're going to let you pick up where you're leaving off right on the other side. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think a case could be better laid out than the one Mark Krieger is currently presenting. Again, it might not be for everyone, but it might just be for you. If you're young, you don't yet have a family, or perhaps you're out of work and you want a better life for your family. I know it's a lot to take in. It's a lot of information, especially if you've never before considered the option of going to another country, starting a life there. But listen to the economic opportunities that you have in places like Australia and New Zealand. You know, doing an hour-long interview with the constraints of commercial radio, you're really only getting a sketch outline of everything that you can find in Mark's book, How to Escape America. It's available on his website, KriegerCapital.biz. You can also go to our website and just link over to Mark's own if you can't find it there. Also, you will find economic advice, financial and investment advice there from Mark Krieger and Krieger Capital. So we would encourage you to check that out. Okay, Mark, getting back to the discussion we're having here, you foresee, and I don't think this is a outrageous forecast, things in the United States continuing to decline in terms of liberty and economic opportunity, correct?
Look, absolutely. If you look at, you know, the fundamentals in the United States, what's keeping the country afloat right now is two things. One, is there are still foreigners that are willing to lend money to the U.S. government to function, and secondly, the Federal Reserve has been printing money out of thin air to buy government debt. I mean, the deficits that the government's running are around $1.4 trillion U.S., and that's not going to be sustainable. If you look at what's happened in Europe, for example, Greece has needed a lifeline to keep its welfare state afloat, but there's a big distinction between Greece and the United States. In Greece, if things get really bad, you know, people might attack a bank or they might riot in the street, but that's it. You know, nobody's going to go hungry because everybody has an uncle or a grandfather in the village and they have some kind of a connection to the land. In the United States, however, if you look at the underclass in the inner cities, you know, these people have been living on welfare for generations. They have no ability to look after themselves or the gumption or the willingness to do anything. So they're accustomed to collecting a check, but they don't have the sense to plant a vegetable garden or go out and earn a living. And once that system collapses where you can no longer continue to buy off this gigantic underclass, then these guys are going to revolt. The other danger is also from the U.S. government. All that is really necessary is for the U.S. government to say, you know, stage a terrorist attack and say, look, you know, some Iranian agents organized by Mossad have threatened somebody. We need to close the borders. We need to confiscate bank accounts. If the U.S. government goes broke, they might just seize your land. They might seize money from bank accounts. I mean, even today, for example, in California, you have news reports of people with safe deposit boxes, so-called abandoned. I use that in quotation marks, where the government has basically said these are abandoned. They've demanded the contents of the safe deposit boxes from the bank, and then they sold it to fund the budget. So you're dealing with a banana republic that's operating the way the Soviet Union did or the way third world governments do. And that's not where you want to have, you know, where you want to be or where you want to have your family. You want to at least look at having a plan B.
And speaking of plan B, I mean, obviously this is one. Another one would be if people are not in a position to immigrate to another country, perhaps they should internationalize their assets. This is something you speak about. How should people invest during these perilous financial times? I want to ask you another question about the immigration thing, and I know we're beginning to run out of time. So I will say this in talking about internationalizing assets, investing here in America or elsewhere. Folks, go to Mark's website, KriegerCapital.biz. He is offering a substantially reduced rate for financial advice and investment tips for TPC listeners. And this is something, listen, we need to be good stewards of our resources, and we need to be wise in our investments, and we need to talk to people who have more knowledge than we do. We're not all experts on everything. Certainly I'm not. So I would encourage you to go to his website and look and get in touch with him and pick his brain for financial tips along these lines that I just mentioned. And we will have his website featured prominently on ours. It is now, but will also be again when we post the recap for tonight's show, encouraging folks to go to the broadcast archives if they missed it live. Mark, another question, though, about immigration. This comes in from Frederick in Colorado. He talks about this being an excellent show topic. Obviously, you're highly in favor of Australia and New Zealand for reasons that have already been mentioned, the fact that they are English-speaking countries being high on the list. What about other countries? Are there any other destinations that could be viable for expats to live in that you would recommend perhaps as a second-tier destination behind Australia and New Zealand? A lot of people seem to think Switzerland should be high on the list. Are they right or wrong?
Look, they're absolutely right. I mean, my wife is partially of Swiss descent, and she has a Swiss passport. You know, between my wife and me, we have 5 different passports, you know, in case you ever need to go. Switzerland is doing remarkably well. It has a very vibrant export sector in terms of, you know, things like chocolates, watches, very high-tech machinery. A place like Norway, for example. Now, Norway has a gluttonous welfare state, and it's not, say, like Switzerland with low taxes, lax gun laws, and so on. But Norway has 4.5 million people, and it's an oil-rich country with a sovereign wealth fund of $500 billion. All you really need to go to do to immigrate to Norway is to get an EU passport. You don't even have to be able to obtain citizenship in Norway. And there are ways where you could do that sort of fairly easily. It's a good location. Places in Eastern Europe now, a lot of these places can be a bit tricky in the sense that there's a lot of organized crime and there's still a government that gets in your pocket. But these are regions where people didn't have anything 20 years ago, and they're growing and developing, and people want cell phones, and they want houses, and they need to build new roads. These are areas that are developing where somebody who is entrepreneurially minded can do very well for himself. There are places in South America like Uruguay, which has a relatively large European population. It doesn't have the big chasm between the rich and the poor that, say, Brazil does or the United States does. So there are a lot of different places where people can go. And it's just a question of, you know, informing yourself and reading extensively and doing a little bit of traveling and saying, you know, what fits with you, what type of climate, what type of people, you know, what sort of culture, and finding a good place.
And, of course, your book is applicable for those who might be looking to go to a place other than Australia and New Zealand, although you focus on that primarily, certainly in terms of the laws and regulations for immigrating, the costs and how to navigate the different hurdles is all can be found in your book. How to Escape America. I have the audio version of it as well as the PDF. I have read it. I have listened to it. Folks, you need to have it, and you can by going to Mark's website tonight. I got an email in from an elderly listener earlier today, Mark. She says that, you know, frankly, she's just too old to start over. What advice would you give to people who feel as though Father Time is providing a deterrent? Is it ever too late to do this?
It's not too late, particularly if you have children. If one person can immigrate, you are able to bring in family members as part of a plan. Now, in terms of bringing elderly family members, it's a lot more cumbersome than, say, for a young single guy who's under 30 to pack up and leave. But if you have relatives, you can take family members with you. As far as how to do it, it probably is really sort of specific on your personal circumstances, but it's certainly not off limits if you have the right plan, and there are certainly enough loopholes in place that might enable you to do that.
And of course, if you're in a position to where you just can't or just don't want to leave America, and I know there are a lot of good people out there that are there, again, you can still better yourself by practicing sound financial stewardship. And to circle back to something I mentioned just a moment ago, Mark offers this for you as well at his website, KriegerCapital.biz. So this is probably going to be an interview, folks, that you're going to want to consult again in the broadcast archives. Again, you know, we're not talking about black on white crime. We're not talking about many of the issues that we seem to talk about on a regular basis. This is all new stuff, even for us here. And judging by the response we got in advance of Mark's appearance tonight, I know there was quite a bit of a buzz. So what I want you to do is I want you to listen to this again. Let it all sink in. Go to Mark's website, email him, and get more information. Thank him for coming on the program. Thank him for offering to you his opinion and again, his advice. Mark, thanks so much for coming to us tonight, all the way from New Zealand. Well, I guess it's Sunday afternoon where you are. We're all better for it, and we look forward to continuing the discussion with you and hopefully having you back on the show many times to come.
Oh, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, James.
The pleasure was all ours. Mark Krieger, everybody, check him out, kriegercapital.biz. When we come back, we're going to go from a very serious discussion to the exact opposite of that when we have our political cesspool correspondent Peter Scoop Stanton call in. We'll see what he has to say. And coming up third hour, Bill Rowland back on deck for the third hour. We're going to be wrapping up the multi-week series with Dr. Tom Sell. It's all still coming tonight on the Political Cesspool.
These messages.
We'll return. We'll return.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044.
CardioPrim.com. A backpack is more than just a bag. It's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
When you're in live radio, you always have to be ready to call an audible. We thought we were having Peter Stanton on. He is still at work. You know, our people do work for a living, so he couldn't get off in time to make the show tonight. So we're going to do something different. But first, again, want to thank Mark Krieger for coming on tonight. His audio book, How to Escape America, he is making that available to Political Cesspool listeners who respond to our third quarter fundraising drive. If you have the means and the inclination and can donate $100 or more to the show, you get it for free. You can, of course, also get that from his website directly. But why not help us out and get the book. Do two good things with your money. And we would appreciate that. Gotten off to a slow start this quarter to the fundraising drive. But if you go to our website tonight and make that $100 donation, I will forward over to you the audio book that you just heard us talk about for 45 minutes, How to Escape America. That will be in your inbox tonight if you can help us out. We would appreciate that help. Anyway, with Peter Stanton not coming, being able to call in tonight, Bill Rowland, who was here and in studio, he was over in the green room. Getting ready for his third hour. He has now joined me a little bit early. Bill, during the first hour, for 30 minutes, we talked with Sam Bushman about the Republican shenanigans with regards to Ron Paul and his delegation. Me and you had a very salty conversation on the phone earlier this week about the utter corruption in the Republican Party. Just basically share your thoughts with the audience on that in a nutshell and the Republican Party in general.
Well, James, I literally blew in here. As you know, there's a storm outside that's pretty menacing, and I blew in, and I think I landed on a witch. But I didn't look like Janet Napolitano, so I'm not sure that it was. Nevertheless, I'm trying more and more to find reasons not to utterly loathe the Republican Party, and I'm finding that search is coming up empty. So I'll get right on the Republicans. First of all, I know you discussed in previous hour the absolutely wretched treatment given to Ron Paul and his delegation, shameful at best, and at worst, absolutely totalitarian. The Republicans are no worse than the Democrats. But I can't get over this, the pick of Romney and then Romney picking Ryan as his running mate. First of all, this will be the first election in American history where there won't be at least one Christian in the race. It's going to be a Mormon, and they're technically, I mean, Christians, but I'm saying that from the mainstream churches, and then a Muslim. And so I think Americans, a very large number of Americans, are going to find a hard time identifying with Romney and his religion. I mean, that's just a fact. I'm not trying to nail anybody on the Mormon issue, but I'm saying that's just a fact. And on the other hand, of course, Obama claims to be a Christian, but he doesn't seem to have much in his past that would make it evident that he was a Christian. And belonging to Jeremiah Wright's church certainly is not a big endorsement for Christianity, as far as I'm concerned. But nevertheless, Romney's got problems that I think he's going to have a hard time getting around. And then he picks Paul Ryan, who to me is a real oddball. He looks like he's ADD. He twitches and flinches and jumps up and down, and I think he's going to end up being sort of like the little chihuahua that was on the Taco Bell commercials, this nervous little dog who's not going to really gain much appeal with the American people. I don't think he has very good stage presence, to put it another way. Now, the thing is that, too, that Ryan has come out and bragged about having a black sweetheart in college and having a black sister-in-law. Now, I can tell you that if a Democrat had done that in 1968, he would have been given the bums rush, even by the Democrats, right, that he would have been viewed as some sort of freak. I'll tell you, I remember when there was a member of Lyndon Baines Johnson's cabinet. His name was Dean Rusk. And Dean Rusk was a white trash politico from Georgia. And Dean Rusk was a real little sneak, an ugly little trollish man. But he was considered to be really effective in what he did. But actually was a backstabbing little piece of white trash. But his daughter ended up marrying a black Marine. Now, this is in the 1960s, and it was an absolute shockwave around the country when Dean Rusk's daughter, in a church wedding, no less, marries this black Marine, and it was just considered, ice on his career. And yet now you've got this supposedly conservative Republican. You jump ahead 30 years, and everybody he's waving this as a banner of pride that he did this. I mean, I'm wondering what his wife thinks, with an old girlfriend coming out of the woodpile, literally, and talking about his relationship with her. I it's absolutely mind-boggling to me. But I can tell you, James, how the Republicans, I believe I know how the Romney campaign is going to go. They're not going to talk about social issues. They're not going to talk about homosexuality. They're not going to talk about anything relevant. They're going to talk about gas prices.
I got to weigh in on this now because you're pushing a button. I would say one thing. Mitt Romney's Mormonism is actually, I will split hairs with you on that, one of the few things that I find endearing about him. But other than that, because, you know, there are a lot of elements about the Mormon Church that we certainly, as a Baptist, I can find an agreement. And you look at Mitt Romney's family, and that's something just aesthetically that's pleasing to me. So I might take issue with you on that. But that being said, his speech, what they will be talking about, him and Ryan, and of course this whole thing about Ryan's college sweetheart, of course he offered that out there for God knows what reason, I guess to curry favor with the left, which is an impossible thing to do. But Condoleezza Rice obviously gave a speech. Ron Paul didn't give a speech, but Condoleezza Rice gave a speech at the convention. And I've read the transcript of it, and we talked about this on that phone conversation that we had earlier in the week. She talked about the need for the Republicans and Republican partisans to adopt and advocate for a more compassionate immigration policy. That was her words. Of course, that means open borders. And then she went from that to saying, you know, another thing we need to be fighting for is better school choices for urban youth. So that is supposed to be the Republican talking points. This is what's supposed to mobilize the Republican base to come out and fight against Obama, the fact that the Republicans are for open borders and better schools for black kids. This is how they're differentiating themselves from the Democrats. And obviously, Sam Bushman gave an excellent commentary on breaking down the Republican convention in the first hour. If you missed it, you got to catch it. And what he said about Romney's speech was dead on. I mean, he said nothing. And I even mentioned that. He said, you know, he loves this country and he wants more people to have jobs. And you know, he didn't attack Obama on anything. He said Obama was a good guy, and we wish he had done better, but it's time for me to have a chance. And that was it. That was the Republican convention. They cheated the Paul delegations out of their seats. They had Condoleezza Rice up to talk about that. Mitt Romney, Clint Eastwood. It was just a pageant with no meat for the people that are going to need to turn out to elect Romney. He gave them nothing. And the only people he fed were the people who are never going to vote for Romney.
Mitt Romney is a late model John McCain, a late model Bob Dole. He's the same cast. And that is that they're not going to address social issues because they think that the Democrats have the upper hand. And they don't realize, and they will never realize, that addressing those very issues is what's going to push buttons with the American people. Ron Paul wasn't ashamed to do that. Now, of course, Ron Paul has been completely alienated from the Republican Party, and so have his followers. I don't think the Ron Paul fellowship is going to go out and vote for Mitt Romney. I don't think that they're going to do that. Now, I'm convinced they're not. I know I'm not. I'm not going to vote for Mitt Romney. Absolutely not going to vote for him. And they've completely alienated their base. They don't have any alternatives except to talk about the economy. And I can tell you, I'm going to do this real quick, James. I know you got things to say. But a while back, Mitt Romney met with all the big moguls at the oil companies, the big tycoons, and he met with a group of them, some oil company lobby, and he came out of that with a game plan. And it was right after he came out of that meeting that oil prices started to go up. I mean, gas prices started to rise. And I think that there's going to be $4 a gallon gas come time the election, and he's going to campaign on opening up the oil fields in North Dakota, and that Obama failed to do that, and that's why gas prices are so high, and that's an immediate sting to the American people.
Well, we'll wait and see. You've certainly been right on many of your predictions over the years, but there was something I was going to say. I was hot to say it. Oh, Ron Paul. Yeah. No, listen, me and you both voted for Ron Paul in the Republican primary here in Tennessee. The only time I do vote Republican seems to be in the primary, because by the time it gets to the general election, it's not anybody worth voting for. Yeah, I'm a I guess you would say an independent that voted in the Republican primary, but I would just as soon. No, listen, I will tell you this, and this is the truth, folks. I'm going to say it. Forgive me, Charles in Oklahoma, forgive me. I love you. Thank you for your support. I know you believe, and maybe you're right and I'm wrong, that we should work within the Republican Party. There's certainly a great case that could be made for that. But between Romney and Obama, I would vote for Obama. Just let the bad times roll. You know, why? You know, if we're going to do this thing the right way, if we're intent on destroying the country, let's just get it done. Let's just do it. Because the difference is negligible. And when Obama's in the White House, at least the people who are marginally conservative don't fall asleep at the wheel. You know what happens when you get Bush, Romney, whomever. They think that they've won something, and they haven't. And we got to take a break. Open your world in God.